is me, Ellie Krug, with Ellie 2.0 Radio. How are you? Welcome back. Welcome back to Ellie 2.0 and your weekly hour and dose of idealism. And idealists working to make the world better, okay? Boy, I think we sure need a whole lot more idealists than what we have. We have a wonderful big interview, though, with two idealists working to make rural Minnesota, a rural Minnesota county, more LGBTQ plus friendly. These two people also happen to be my friends. So you're going to just love hearing from Sarah and Elise. And of course, in my C block, I'll talk about my work as an idealist. Hopefully, I'll have enough time to tell you a quick story about how what came through my email a little bit ago. But here in the A block, okay, where we are right now, let's just talk about this week's featured idealist. His name is Siddharth Khera, and some of you may recognize him as the author of a 2023 New York Times nonfiction bestseller titled Cobalt Red: Modern Slavery, Child Labor, and Cobalt Mining in the Democratic Republic of Congo. Okay, that book came out last year and became a bestseller on the New York Times list. For those unfamiliar with Siddharth Khera, okay? Siddharth, yeah, I'm getting it right. He was born in Knoxville, Tennessee, to Indian parents, and then grew up in Memphis while also spending his summers in Mumbai, India. Ultimately, he graduated from Drake University with a BA in English and Philosophy, and then obtained an MBA from Columbia University. Later, he went on to receive a law degree from BPP Law School in London. Now, while at Duke, Siddharth became interested in the plight of human suffering at the hands of others on massive scale. And thus, I mean, so he's a college student, and this is what he does. He went and spent a summer volunteering in a Bosnian refugee camp, hearing their stories of atrocities and of how they've been uprooted from their homes, and how men had been murdered, and then how the women had been forced into sex work. Ultimately, this idealist, okay, has traveled to more than 50 countries, where in many of those countries he investigated and continues to investigate instances of human exploitation and modern-day slavery. This, in turn, has made him an expert on the subject, leading him to write about sex trafficking, bonded labor in South Asia in industries such as hand-woven carpet making. So think about that hand-woven rug that you have your eyes on. It very well could have been made with forced labor. And forced labor and bonded labor in tea and rice farming and frozen shrimp production. And now with his latest book, Cobalt Mining in the Republic of Congo. Now, he's been relentless in highlighting how you and I, assuming you own a smartphone or a laptop, likely benefit as a result of forced labor or human exploitation. Because 75% of the world's cobalt resources come from the Republic of the Congo. And cobalt is one of the rare metals used for modern electronics. Now, this is incredibly important stuff, which all humans need to know about. Most of us here in America live in a bubble of thinking that things just show up at Target or some other store. But there are histories to all of the things, all of the products that we get. And Siddharth Khera is helping us to realize that all of us are interconnected with those who are exploited. I mean, I don't know if I could think of much of a greater idealistic mission than what Siddharth Khera is on. Now, among the many things that I did not understand before researching Siddharth Khera was how enslavers and exploiters work to break the human spirit. Now, he did an interview here at Wadham College in England last November. So this is an interview fairly recent. I'm going to play you a clip now. Bear in mind, okay, this is going to be about a 4-minute clip. So it's going to go on for a period of time here. But just take a moment from whatever you're doing right now and listen to him explain how humans, historically and today, work to break the spirit of other humans so that they can exploit them or enslave them. And Brett's going to play the clip right now. Go ahead, Brett. Thanks.
You know, slavery has, throughout history, up into and including the present time, disproportionately affected people of color across the global South, and in particular, those of African descent. One anecdote that really sits with me that brings this point, I think, into very sharp focus is, you know, some time ago, I was in Nigeria doing research on trafficking of Nigerian women and girls up into Europe for forced prostitution, and conducted a lot of interviews, met a lot of survivors of trafficking, most of them from an area called Edo State, which is the old Benin empire. And while I was there, I also was doing research into the old slave trade. You know, there are slave trading posts, fortifications that were built 500 plus years ago, first by the Portuguese and later the French, the British, along the entire West African coast. And there was a process at that time after slaves had been gathered and held in pens and branded with the initials of their ship captain. They'd be, walked out to the coast where they would board canoes and then be taken out to deeper water to board slave ships and never to return. And along the way, they had to recite an oath. They would drink from a well and recite an oath. And the oath had to do with acknowledging that they were leaving Africa, that they wouldn't return, they're leaving their soul behind, that they won't revolt, they won't fight back, and they accept now that they're slaves for the rest of their lives. And it was a very sort of an oath of dehumanizing them, and a big part of it was not revolting. And 500 years later, when I was documenting survivors of trafficking for forced prostitution in Nigeria, they too were made to take an oath. And they would undergo rituals, religious rituals, local juju priests. These are young girls, 15, 16, 17, before embarking on the journey to Europe. And they were made to take an oath that they would not revolt. They will obey their masters. They will repay the debts they were given. In this case, debt is used as a way of ensnaring them, you know, under a spiritual penalty. And it just struck me that across five centuries, people from West Africa, in this case, Nigeria, whether they were being carted across the Atlantic or flown to Milan into slavery or slave-like exploitation, were made to take oaths that had to do with not revolting and to leaving their souls behind. And so this was it echoed the sort of reality of slavery across centuries, which is to strip away the humanity of a person, to strip away their agency, their will.
Think about that. Incredibly powerful. His words and the story that he just told, I mean, it has touched my soul. But this is what humans do to other humans to hold them down. And it is idealists like Siddharth Kara who work to prevent that from happening. So think more broadly, audience, if you could, okay? Think about when you go to Target or wherever you go, when you buy whatever it is that you buy, whose hands did this touch before it got into yours? And were they free or not when they had it in their hands? Pretty deep, right? Yeah. Well, I think it's pretty darn important. Okay, that's our A block for you today. When we come back, we're going to do the big interview with Sarah and Elise. You're going to love hearing from them about their work to make a rural Minnesota county more LGBTQ plus friendly. And then if you like what you're hearing, go visit my website at elliekrug.com and strike me up, okay? Or email me at lejkrug@gmail.com. We'll be back in a second. Thanks. Hey, everyone. This is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on AM 950. When I am not on the radio, my job is to go out and train and speak on diversity, equity, and inclusion topics. In America right now, that is a tough subject for many organizations. But I'm here to tell you, we need to do this work. I do the work well, and so please, contact me at Human Inspiration Works. You can email me or go through my website at elliekrug.com. I look forward to hearing from you. And we're back. Ellie 2.0 Radio. So check out Siddharth Khera. And Brett and I talked after that clip was played about the oath that enslaved people and people who are trafficked being made to take in order to break their spirits. And Brett reminded me about how right now we have a political candidate looking for people to make oaths to him. So just put a pin in that. But on a more happy note, okay, I am thrilled, like totally, completely thrilled with a capital T to have both Sarah Hempel and Elise Boal online here with me to talk about incredible work of making a rural Minnesota county far more LGBTQ friendly. So Elise and Sarah, welcome to Ellie 2.0 Radio. I'm thrilled.
Hi, thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
So now, audience members, as I intimated, okay, in my opening of the show, both Sarah and Elise are friends of mine. And a couple of weeks ago, I had Elise over at my house for a little bit of talk book. Yeah. And in the course of that, we talked about how she is quite the idealist and that I know Sarah also is an idealist. And I said, I think we need to have you on the show. And so that's how this has transpired. And if you hear me being very friendly with these guests, there's a reason for that. So there you go. All right. So yeah. Sarah and Elise, you have done something fairly incredible. Okay. Both of you live in Carver County, where I also live. Both of you live actually in Waconia, which is a fairly conservative community, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the two of you have gone forward to put on the map, all right, Carver County, as a welcoming place for LGBTQ plus people. Let's begin with the fact that the two of you actually didn't know each other, 3 years ago this time? You met, and how did you meet? And then what did you do with the Facebook post? Let's talk about that first before we get into what Ellie Krug's involved. So go ahead.
I like to make the joke that I shoved my way into Sarah's life. She didn't have a choice. I saw her advocating for herself and her family on Facebook, so I private messaged her. And, I just private messaged her to show support originally. And through that, we just quickly became very good friends. And now we talk to each other almost every day.
How wonderful.
Yeah, it was... part of it started because we both were looking for inclusive school board candidates, for the summer of 2022. And through that process, for me, it was huge because it became apparent that there are people in Waconia that identify as LGBTQ plus, or there are allies. And my wife and I, when we moved here, we initially were thinking, like, in 2016, okay, how long do we need to stay here before we can get out? Because we get, people turn around and look at us when we're walking down the sidewalk holding hands or something. And we're like, right. This is kind of weird. So it became awesome to meet Elise and then to, like, just discover this whole great community that's here.
Right. And so And then, but the two of you, because you're both, you know, idealists, all right, weren't just content with just being friends. Am I right about that?
Correct.
And so out of your friendship sprang a Facebook group. Am I right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell us, Elise, tell us about that, if you would. And everyone, so, hold on a second. You're hearing in the background the noise of children, which we've told Sarah is just absolutely fine, okay, because this is what it's all about. But go ahead, Elise. Talk about how the Facebook page came about.
I saw in a local Facebook group someone asking the community if there was some sort of LGBTQIA group in the city, in the town, of any sort, you know, clubs or groups or whatever, and no one said yes. And I reached out to Sarah and I said, Sarah, do you know the answer to this? Because my answer is no. Do you know any different? She said no. So I said, well, let's change that. So we decided to start out with a small private Facebook group with the hopes of growing it just organically. You know, of course, immediately I messaged that original person that asked the question and invited them to join us. You know, it just, you know, like I said, it grew organically, and we're now up to 238 members in this group.
Well, and I'm not fully remembering, and Sarah, maybe you remember, but I don't remember how I got connected with the two of you. I know that I got on the Facebook page, you know, you let me in, but I think that I had some contact with one or either of you before that, but then
I was fangirling over you, so here's that. And I was like, oh my gosh, Ellie is running for a school board position in Eastern Carver County Schools, which is where I worked at the time. And I was like, I'm just gonna, you know, I'm never afraid to like just reach out to people. So I was like, I'm just gonna message her on Facebook and be like, I love what you're doing. Hey, we've got this LGBTQ group. Want to join? And then maybe your famous presence will just like illuminate everything and we'll grow rapidly. And we have.
So what I remember from that time is some of the teens in that group were expressing, you know, concerns about bullying and whatnot, and their parents had been. There was some bad bullying go on at the high school. And part of the group is to support people. So the first time I met you, Ellie, was when Sarah arranged a meeting with you, and we discussed how we could support the youth in Waconia that were dealing with this. And we did. We moved forward with that.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, both of you, for helping me with my faulty memory. But
the Caribou coffee date is where it all began.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right. But I did get involved, and the Facebook group, not just the Facebook group, but it literally has become a social group, right? I mean, you meet once a month and at various places, some for adults only, but some, for, I mean, what I love about this group is it's children. It, you know, it's family friendly. So, Sarah, you want to talk about the event that we I guess I can say that, had at the Waconia Moravian Church last summer?
Yeah. So last summer, we, you know, like Elise said, we wanted to be able to support the children in the community, the youth of the community. And so we held a big back to school bash at the Waconia Moravian Church, and they're LGBTQ welcoming and affirming. And we brought in a couple food trucks. We had donations of LGBTQ books, all the way from like board books for a toddler to chapter books that high school age kids would be interested in reading. And the kids all got to pick out a new book. And the idea was really just to show all of these kids at any age that there are people in this community that support you. No matter how you identify, no matter who your friends are, no matter what your family looks like, there is an awesome community out there that supports you.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, some of those people would show up in the schools because we had teachers there. We had paraprofessionals attending, you know.
How many people showed up? Do you remember what the count was?
Oh, gosh, Elise, you might have to help me. I feel like, I mean, it was definitely over 75, 80-ish, I think.
Yeah, I don't remember the exact number because I'm pretty sure I took off on vacation the next day.
Well, it was a lot of people. I can tell you that. And it was a wonderful event. And I'm just, you know, really grateful. Now, just to bring it forward, and then I want to talk a little bit about both of you as idealists. To bring it forward, beginning earlier this year, this has now progressed to the next step, which is actually creating an organization, standalone organization called Carver County Pride. It's a very innovative name, and which is in the process of getting incorporated. We've I'm involved with this, and we've got Elise. You may remember. I mean, you may recall. This week we got the corporate documents to take a look at, but but there's also a website for Carver County Pride. There's already a logo. But don't look at Texas too closely to look at this logo because the outlines are similar. And there's apparel and there's all kinds of stuff. So Elise or Sarah, which one of you do you want to talk about Carver County Pride?
Well, you know, I just want to tie it into the private group. I will end mention the original group that me and Sarah started is a private Facebook group. Anyone that joins gets vetted, basically, and you have to answer questions to join the group. And that is all done for safety.
Yep.
Security
reasons. Yep.
Yep. And safety and privacy. And our get-togethers have been the same thing. You know, we have these private get-togethers where only the people in the group get notified, and those people can invite their friends and family, but the general public is not aware of these events going on, these monthly social gatherings that we do. And so, you know, with Carver County Pride, this is very much public, and that is, in my opinion, the main difference. And but that is what the next step was naturally, was to be more public with our presence and our support and our networking.
Yep. And Sarah, you have been tremendous. I mean, you have graphic art skills and you are just a social media, you know, just, you know, aficionado. And you've been able One of the things, if you, and Carver County Pride, right? That's the website. All that everybody has to Google is just Carver County Pride, and it's going to come up. But one of the things that both you, Sarah, and you, Elise, have been doing is you've been using this website to educate. And Sarah, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because I just love this. I mean, it makes me so proud to be a part of this. But I love the approach is... Our approach is about educating. It's about, you know, showing up as a community partner. Go ahead.
Yeah. Between the website and social media, we agreed as a board that we wanted to serve the purpose of educating people so that to other people that aren't part of the LGBTQ community, it's not so scary. It's not, it becomes something that they can hopefully welcome and look at all of us as humans first. Because they maybe have a little better understanding of who we are and that we're just humans too. We just love someone a little different. And so we've done campaigns around what do these flags mean and sharing all of the different flags that represent all of the different identities, you know, bisexual, lesbian, trans, polyamorous, I could go on and on. And it's actually a campaign that's taken about 2.5 weeks to do, releasing a new flag each day. right now we're in the midst of a trans awareness for getting ready for Trans Visibility Day on Sunday. And so again, just spreading awareness and celebration and letting people know we hear you, we see you, we value you. we love you, we support you, while also trying to educate the general public as well.
That's, you know, I just absolutely love it. And the goal, right, the two of you, is for us to actually have a pride, do a pride event in Carver County, yes, that Carver County Pride is, you know, the architect of. And the goal is, it may not be very big the first year, but the goal is to have it before the end of the year. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. And it's been fun to see the number of people grow that are following the Facebook page now. I mean, it quickly jumped over 100 within the first few days of it being announced. And, you know, people reaching out to us and saying, I didn't know this was a thing. I would like to, you know, talk to you about sponsorship, or how can I support, or can I volunteer? And it's like, oh my gosh, like, this is really cool. I've learned of new businesses that I wasn't even aware of previously in Carver County. Yeah.
You know, so, I told a couple of gay men who are married with children about it. And one of the men, I'm not kidding you, was visibly touched. And he said, if I wasn't in a public setting, I'd start crying right now about the fact that we have a Carver County Pride. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. So, all right. So I'm watching my time here. Elise, you are not gay. You are
correct.
Not transgender. Okay. You are a straight cisgender, you know, wonderful, lovely human. And you are this incredible ally. I mean, Sarah, we, you know, poster child for ally, right?
The best.
The best.
Absolutely.
Elise.
Thank y'all.
Elise, what, how, why? Okay. You got all kinds of stuff going on in your life. All right. Why? Why is this something that you devote a lot of time to?
Well, I mean, that there's a lot of answers to that, but, you know, overall, I know I cannot just sit back and watch everything happen that is harming these marginalized communities and know that I haven't done anything. I have to move forward and live my life knowing that I'm trying to help in some way. And I have, you know, privileges that other people don't have, and I'm not going to waste those privileges. You know, I feel like I have a little bit more of a safety net because I'm not a member of the LGBTQI community. And so on, so on, so on. You know, there's, you know, a few different safety nets I have. So I'm determined to take advantage of that and do what I can to help.
Thank you. I mean, it's just, even right now at this moment, me having known you for, you know, a good while now, you're touching my heart by what you just said, you know?
Thank you.
And Sarah, you have a busy life, okay? I mean, and I'm just wondering, what is it, why are you devoting so much time to this? And don't worry about the children in the background. It's all good.
They're dumping, I think, every toy out in the house right now. So it's okay. Everything's fine. No, I'm devoting time to this because it's about me. It's about my family. It's about my right to exist. I mean, I'm a little nervous about November, but I hope I don't need to be. I want to leave the world a better place. I want everyone to be able to live as their true, authentic self. And, you know, when Elise talked about privilege, I do have privilege in a variety of ways. And one of the simplest is, you know, right now my hair is up and you can see that the bottom half is all shaved, but I can put my hair down and walk around and no one knows I'm gay, right? Like, this might clue people in a little bit, but for the most part, I can come across as a cisgender female and no one questions me. My wife, on the other hand, can't. She's got short hair. She gets looked at twice when she walks into the women's restroom because they're like, wait a minute. And it's like, she's clearly a woman, right? But not everyone can walk into the restroom they want to walk into without being looked at or judged. And that is just baffles me. And so I want my kids to grow up in a space where people, like I said, can be themselves and exist as themselves and be celebrated for being themselves and not be judged. So it's really important to me.
Well, so thank you both. I mean, and thanks for being vulnerable in answering my questions. Tell me this. What are you surprised at how welcoming folks have been in Carver County? You know, is it something
100%.
That you didn't expect it, right?
No. No. I did. Like I said at the beginning, I moved here and I thought, well, this is all I could afford right now. How long is it going to be till I can get out? And, you know, that mentality has certainly changed. But even neighbors that I have that I know our political views don't align at all, they've gotten to know me as a human and they love my family. They'll meet me at the end of the street and give me a hug after a long winter because they're like, we haven't seen you for 3 months. How are the kids? How's the wife? And that's awesome, you know?
Yeah. Well, and Elise, so you're running in different, somewhat different circles. Mm-hmm. And are you finding in those circles, at least some of them, surprises about how welcoming people are?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I feel like every day someone is surprising me. You know, there's constantly random people coming up to me, showing support for the community, and they feel safe doing that because I am very vocal and outspoken about my beliefs with that, and they, you know, come to me and talk to me about it, and I love that. I love that they feel safe doing that. I love that there are the people here doing that. You know, unfortunately, there's always going to be that small minority that is very, very loud, but we just have to be louder, louder with our love. And, you know, I think that's happening right now.
Well, louder with our love. Sarah, we need to get that on the website. Okay.
website t-shirt. I see it everywhere. Right now. Stickers.
Audience members, now you know why I really adore both of these humans. You know, and my audience members will now say, well, I know what Ellie's going to say, which is, you know, I continually remind the audience that I believe that 98% of all humans are good. Mm-hmm. 2% are incredibly challenged. But the other 98% are good. They're just afraid of what it is, you know, of what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. And in our world right now with the, you know, echo chamber going on and, you know, it just, but Sarah, it's just like what you said, you become familiar with people, right? And then all that fades away, you know, and you're just seen as humans to each other.
Yeah.
And that's what really, that's really what Carver County Pride's all about. Just us showing up as humans, you know, we've had different journeys. But we want the same things in life as everybody else, right?
Yes,
absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, it has been wonderful, just incredibly wonderful to have both of you on. You two idealists, you are. And I just, will you do me a favor and stay, you know, come back, okay? We'll have you back in about a year after, maybe after our Pride event, and you can come and talk about how that's gone, all right?
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
Okay, well, thanks for being on my radio show, podcast. Tell others about it, okay? All right, we've been speaking to Elise Bowl and Sarah Hempel about Carver County Pride and their groundbreaking work to make Carver County, Minnesota, a far more welcoming place for LGBTQ plus people. Thanks, both of you.
Thank you.
Hey everyone, this is Ellie Krug with Ellie 2.0 Radio on AM 950. When I am not on the radio, my job is to go out and train and speak on diversity, equity, and inclusion topics. In America right now, that is a tough subject for many organizations. But I'm here to tell you, we need to do this work. I do the work well, and so please, contact me at Human Inspiration Works. You can email me or go through my website at elliekrug.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Ellie 2.0 Radio. I'm back. Sarah and Elise. Oh, my God. Come on. You know, they're just doing some really, really great stuff. They really are. And I'm just proud to be their friend and proud to be able to have some kind of a role with them. So, you know, I'm just really, really great. Very humbled about that, okay? So, all right, a couple of things, multiple things I want to talk with you about. Before I forget, because I just pulled it up on the phone, for those of you who are interested in seeing me in public, I'm going to be in Delano, Minnesota on April 13th at the Delano High School. I'm going to be part of a event that the students are putting on there around inclusivity, and I'm going to be doing the first two modules of Gray Area Thinking. That is April 13th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It's a free event at the Delano High School in Delano, Minnesota. All right, enough about that. Now, this week I've been able to pay some bills, make some money to pay some bills. Money hasn't come in yet. But, you know, I've done two Transgender 101 for Legal Professional talks to law firms this week, both by Zoom. It was incredibly wonderful. Well, actually, I did Gray Area Thinking by Zoom for one law firm and Trans 101 for another law firm for Legal Professionals. And then I've done Trans 101 for Legal Professionals several times so far this year. And so several years ago, okay, and I'm not going to, like, get too specific, but I was invited to speak to a branch of our military. I mean, not like the whole branch, but at a you know, location. And we probably had, I don't know, I'd guess maybe 100 service members in the audience. And it was a Trans 101 talk to talk about what it meant to be transgender. They were incredibly welcoming to me. You know, I kind of a little nervous about how it would go. This is pre-pandemic even. I think this was even during the Trump administration. So, but they were incredibly welcoming to me, very, very friendly. And the talk lasted, I don't know, about 2 hours. I got great questions, and, you know, and then since that talk, you know, I've interacted with some people who were in the audience there, you know, who told me how they valued me, because I did start that talk by saying, thank you for protecting me. And I mean this with our service members. And, you know, they put their lives on the line to protect me. I'm transgender, as you know, and I would not have legal rights in many countries. In fact, in some countries, I could be killed by the government. And so, you know, I thanked the military when I started that talk. And since then, I've seen some of the folks in the audience, and they've thanked me for being, you know, so thankful. Okay. But a couple of weeks ago, I got an email, just a random email out of the blue. And it was from a person who had been in that audience back pre-pandemic of service members, who was a service member, who said to me in the email, Ellie, I just want to let you know that when you gave that talk, I was there. Thank you for giving the talk. I'm paraphrasing. And I wanted you to know that you had a gender a gender variant human in the audience, and that was me. And I wanted you to know that I recently came out as the true me. So this was somebody identified as male at birth, but now coming out as female. And she said, I wanted to let you know that I've come out. And I wanted to thank you for having come that day and talked to us. It made a big difference to me. It meant a lot to me. And I'm like, holy cow. You know, and it just, I mean, I was thrilled for this person. I wrote them back and I said, congratulations on you finally getting to be you. And you know, and I said, you know, if you need someone to talk to as you continue to take this journey, I'm here for you. Let me know. But the great thing about this was, I mean, I didn't know that this person was in the audience, which also leads me to believe, as I've thought before, okay, and reinforces that you just never know when you speak, when I speak or when anybody else speaks, you just never know who is listening and how it may impact them, either positively, which in this case is, you know, wonderful, or negatively. You just don't know. So I got to just tell you, it just made my day, you know, to know that maybe I had done something to help somebody along in finding who they were. So now that also brings me to the fact tomorrow is Easter. So happy Easter to you. Okay. Yep. I'll, you know, throw that off to you. And then secondly, it also because Transgender Day of Visibility, which I'm going to explain in a second, always lands on the same day every year, March 31st. So it's also Sunday will also not only be Easter, but it will be Transgender Day of Visibility. And on other shows, I've talked about this, and I think I've even brought in some trans folks to commemorate it. But Transgender Day of Visibility is one day a year where transgender people ask to be seen. Okay, I mean, with Ellie Krug, because the voice doesn't match the appearance, I'm like always seen. But where transgender people, you know, ask that others understand about how we are oppressed. How, I mean, my God, I think the number is up to 527 anti-transgender bills introduced into 41 different states this year, okay? Where we want, you know, at least some recognition of some of the struggling that we are going through. And that we're also, you know, we're just kind of like human and would like people to just be supportive. So here's what I ask, okay? All right. So tomorrow, if you know somebody who's transgender or non-binary, somebody who identifies neither as male or female, will you do me a favor? Will you reach out to them? You know, call them. Don't just text, but if you have to, just text. But call them and tell them that you care about them. Tell them that they matter. Tell them that they have value, that they are worthy. Will you do that for me? Because I guarantee you that trans or non-binary person will really appreciate that. All right. Okay, a big thanks to my producer, Brett Johnson, who always just absolutely comes through for me. And audience members, listen, you know, I really do appreciate that you tune in. Please tell others about the show because I'd really like, I mean, God, one of my great goals is to really devote the attention to the show that really could make it something. But the more people that listen, it becomes something. So please share about it, all right? And in the meantime, between now and when you hear my voice next week, will you do me this favor? Will you go out and do something? It'll make the world better. Thanks. Ellie Krug, over and out.